Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Mean Gene Show, streaming live here on podbean.com on a Tuesday, election day, November 8, 2022. I know it's been a while. It has been a while since we streamed live on Podbean, so I thought I would take this opportunity to do it this election day, especially since I've already voted. I did that last week during the early voting. So I know a lot of folks are making plans to get out there and do the right thing, do what you have a right to do, and that's go out and vote regardless of how you vote. I would not tell you how to vote. That is not my job. That's not what we do here on the Mean Gene Show or the Sports Kings or none of the shows that air on this platform. You know, we just want to remind you to go out and vote, and that will be taking place all day today. So, hey, if you're in a warm weather city, I'm in Houston right now, so the weather is pretty warm right now. 78 degrees, right? So some folks will be standing in long lines, so make sure you have water and all of that great stuff. So it should be a very interesting night tonight. Some folks will be, you know, sitting around watching and waiting for results. So I probably will be doing that too. But there is also a lot of sports taking place, and there are some things that I haven't really been able to catch up on, especially here on the streaming live here on Podbean. So I want to remind you that this show, the Mean Gene Show, is always brought to you by Virgin Hotels Las Vegas. You know, we're out there every other weekend. Of course, we were supposed to be out there last week. We skipped that on purpose so that we could be there this week for Veterans Day. It's going to be our Salute to Veterans Day at Virgin Hotels Las Vegas, which I cannot wait, because this is something that my producer, Ray Lee Cadenhead, you know, we put this together a couple of years ago. And it's just something that we like to do. You know, I'm a veteran. I've served in the Navy. I served in the Army. And of course, you know, make sure you listen to the show this weekend, because I will be talking about that on Friday. And we have some folks from Virgin Hotels Las Vegas, Chad Brown, Vice President of Marketing, Virgin Hotels Las Vegas, will be on the show. Chad used to be in the Army. And Chad Smith, who is the general manager of the AEG Entertainment there inside Virgin Hotels Las Vegas, he will also join me on the show. And Chad, so you don't want to miss our back and forth, because Chad is a former Marine. And every time I see him, we go back and forth on who's more relevant, the Navy or the Marines. So this is fun. And you know what he told me the last time I talked with him? He says, hey, okay, Mean Gene, I'm going to let you win, because the Marines could not exist without the Uber services of the United States Navy. So he got me on that one. That was a real good one. Anyway, so it's going to be fun this week. And I think we are supposed to have some local people from the Las Vegas area come by, military people come by and join us. I think we got some Army. We might have some Air Force people coming by the hotel to be part of the show. So it's going to be great. It's going to be good. We also brought to you by Captain, changing mobility for good. You always hear us talk about Captain. That's Captain with a K, K-A-P-T-Y-N. Go to their website, captain.com. Anytime you are in Vegas, you need transportation, ride share services. They have sedans. They have quite a few things going on there in Las Vegas. So you want to make sure you call them up and get around in nice Teslas, limousines, electric vehicles. They have everything. And they are also the official sponsor of the Mean Gene Show. Every time I go to Vegas and I land at the airport, I have one of those nice cars from Captain is there to pick us up, take us to the Virgin Hotels Las Vegas or anywhere we want to go. So make sure you give them a call or go online and make a reservations. All right. So much to get caught up on here, because we have had a World Series champion crowned since the last time we talked here. And of course, the NBA has started, as well as the NFL is at the halfway point. You know, I say this every year, how quick the NFL season goes by. It is week 9 of the National Football League, folks. And oh my goodness, where does it go? Where does the time go? You know, we spend so much time in the off season. You know, I remember doing the draft in Las Vegas on my birthday week. And of course, all the anticipation of the draft picks. And then, you know, the training camp started a few months after that. And next thing you know, you get to the preseason, the Hall of Fame game and all of that. And here we are now. See, the season kickoff is a big event. And here we are now, 9 weeks in, going 10 weeks into the season here. And it's moving. Next thing you know, we will be doing the Super Bowl show from Virgin Hotels Las Vegas the weekend of February 12th. And the Super Bowl is going to be held there 4 hours away south of us in Phoenix, Arizona. So I'm excited. You know, I get excited about it, but at the same time, I'm like, man, it moves by. And then, of course, this is always the favorite time of the year because this is where we also, you know, welcome in the NBA as it, you know, kind of falls into the football season. So the NBA season has kicked off and a couple of interesting things going on in the NBA that we're going to talk about as well here. So a couple of topics. So we got the World Series, and let's just start with the World Series, okay? Congratulations to the Houston Astros. They are your 2022 MLB World Series champs. I know a lot of people are like, boo, me, Gene. You know, the Astros, the cheaters, this, that, and the other. And, you know, I said a couple of weeks ago, even before, like when the playoffs started in Major League Baseball, say what you want about the Astros. Of course, I was, you know, upset with them. You know, living here in Houston, I definitely support them. And, of course, and then I supported them all the way up until they played the Dodgers in that World Series. And, of course, that was the year that the scandal broke and all of this stuff. But one thing you have to remember, folks, is that, of course, yeah, they were caught. And you know, you don't always get to choose the punishment that happens. I think Major League Baseball addressed it. The owner of the Astros, Mr. Crane, he addressed it. So how about this? How about you fire your manager and GM? You know, I mean, what more action can you take as an owner? And he did that. He brought in Dusty Baker to weather the storm there, and you know, some free agents left the team and this, that, and the other, and this team is just good. The team is really good. They probably didn't need the scandal that, you know, I mean, to me, it wasn't that much of an advantage. You know, there's all sorts of crazy things that happens in baseball and people look for an advantage. I don't know how that really helped them win a World Series. I mean, yeah, the fact that you did something that you wasn't supposed to do, I mean, it puts a little stain on that. But here we are, what, 5 years later. Look at this team. They are world champions. They, you know, they fired the manager, fired the GM, bring in a whole new management. And then Dusty Baker, the guy who – Dusty Baker is a former Dodger. How can you not like Dusty Baker? Dusty Baker has been around baseball for a long time, and this guy finally gets a World Series championship. He probably should have had one with the San Francisco Giants. I mean, Dusty's just been around. And, you know, people in L.A. love him. Dodger fans will always love Dusty Baker. I am so happy for Dusty Baker and the fact that he was able to come in non-biased to anything that happened. He was asked to do a job, and he did it. And, I mean, you know, the guy still knows baseball. He knows how to manage. And for him to be in his 70s and the rapport and relationship that he has with these younger players, I mean, these players, he could be a grandfather too, right? The fact that he can relate to these guys and they can relate to him, and they got the job done. So congratulations, Houston Astros, the city of Houston, Dusty Baker, all the players. I mean, you just have to give their props, you know, and holding a grudge and all of that stuff just won't get you anywhere, folks. The Astros are going to be good for a long time. They recruit well. They just, you know, they just have the right people and an owner that took ownership in handling a situation. It's got to be tough to fire your manager and GM after discovering that they did something wrong. I mean, that's serious. So I applauded Jim Crane for doing that at the time. And to this day, I still applaud him. And what can you say? I didn't go to the parade yesterday. I wanted to go down there, but you know, that was the Dodger fan in me would not allow me to go down there. I definitely wouldn't have put on the Astros gear you know, not that I have a problem with it, but, you know, folks all around the world are going to be watching that parade or maybe glancing at it. And to have Dodger fans see me sitting there in Astros gear, I probably wouldn't have been allowed to go back to Los Angeles or California. I just couldn't do that, okay? I couldn't do it. But I am excited and was happy for the city, the team, and, of course, Dusty Baker. Houston Astros 2022 Major League Baseball World Series champions. And you know what? The season, man, yeah, we talk about baseball season. You know, 100, what, how many games did they play? 162 games. And the playoffs were just unreal. The Phillies, you know, shout out to the Philadelphia Phillies. Basically getting in there as a wild card. And that's another tough thing to do. I told you, if you listen to any of my shows, that the Major League Baseball postseason was going to be spectacular. And it was. I mean, it was just exciting. Of course, the Dodgers, you know, they get the early exit. And the Padres finally beat the Dodgers in a series that counts. You had the Toronto Blue Jays. You had the Seattle Mariners. You had so much action in the 2022 Major League Baseball playoffs, and it was just something to watch. But the Astros, who I think they won 106 games, the Dodgers won 111 games, they were supposed to win. One of those two teams were supposed to win the World Series. If you look at it on paper, that's exactly what was supposed to happen. And, you know, the Astros win. They just take care of business. And that 2-3-2 format, they get two wins on the road there. It's just tough. Just like it used to be in the NBA when they had the 2-3-2 format. It was just a tough format for that home team to win three games in a row. And I'm seeing the same thing in baseball. But, man, like I say, big shout out to the Houston Astros and a great MLB season. Finally, I think the ratings were pretty high this year. No stoppage in play, no anything that gave baseball a negative eye. So it was just really good to see. And now let's get back to the NFL. Of course, the NFL is always exciting, right? You know, there's so much happening in the NFL. And I want to get into these standings, okay, because it's like if you listen to the Mean Gene Show, the KDWN broadcast this past week, I did the show with Brian DiArdo, a CBS sports writer. He came on the show and we talked about where he actually made the picks with me. You know, Dustin Pfeiffer from Bally Sports Southeast, my regular co-host who covers the Panthers and the Charlotte Hornets out there in Carolina, so Dustin wasn't available. So we got our great friend, Brian DiArdo, and he's done several shows with us this year. But me and Brian, we made our picks, and we did a pretty good job on our picks. So you got to go and listen to that podcast because we both picked the Jets to beat the Bills, and we both picked the Detroit Lions to beat the Packers, because it's just been one of those seasons where, you know, you throw out the record, especially those were conference games. You know, yeah, records do matter, but when it's an AFC East matchup and it's an NFC North matchup, and I know that the Detroit Lions have been owned by Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, but you see the Packers have lost, what, four or five in a row, and you see that the Lions are in games, even though they don't have, you know, a spectacular record there, but they are in games. As a matter of fact, their record is horrible at 2-6. And of course, that second win coming Sunday against the Packers. But those six losses are just not like beat down losses. You know, they lost the first game of the year to the Philadelphia Eagles. What was it, 38-35? And there were some other games that they should have won. They're having another one of those seasons where they're losing games, you know, within a touchdown, within 7 points. So they are in games a lot, and they just somehow, you know, find ways to lose. But, man, what an exciting game that was. And just, I don't know what's going on with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, we are starting to see the dismantling of Aaron Rodgers. And a lot of folks will say, well, hey, he's getting what he deserved, because every year he puts, you know, the Green Bay Packers and their fans through this drama, you know, where he's, okay, is he going to play? Is he not going to play? And, of course, you know, in the offseason, they lose Devontae Adams to the Raiders, and then Aaron Rodgers throws his current wide receivers under the bus. You know, they can't catch. They don't run routes. Right? You know, so he goes on the Pat McAfee show and just, you know, gets comfortable and it's too much. So all of that stuff is the karma. The bad karma now is coming back to Aaron Rodgers, and he deserves everything he's getting, which is almost a last place. If it wasn't for the Detroit Lions, the Green Bay Packers would be last place in the NFC North. And just like we said early in the year, when I say we, I'm talking about me, Wayne Brown, Dustin Pfeiffer, and every guest that we've had on the show, when it came to the NFC North, we all picked the Minnesota Vikings to win that division. And they have a comfortable lead. But I take it back. So the Packers are not next to last place. They are tied with the Bears. The Packers and the Bears both have a 3-6 record, 5 games behind the Minnesota Vikings. And the Vikings have won 6 in a row. They are streaking. They are peaking and streaking. Okay. Haven't lost a game at home, so you can forget about going to Minneapolis and beating them, because they have not lost a game at home, and they're 3-1 on the road, so you can barely beat them when they come to your town. And I can't even remember who they lost that one game to, but anyway, the Minnesota Vikings, in the words of a former coach, they are who we thought they were, or they are who we expected them to be. And that's what they are doing. They're taking care of business. So good to see that. And the other game that me and Brian DiArdo picked was that the Buffalo Bills and the Jets. Man, so you sit here and look at the standings today. The New York Jets are 6-3. And the Buffalo Bills are 6-2. And, man, this is incredible. And get this, though. Just like the Minnesota Vikings are unbeaten at home, how about the Jets have not lost a game on the road? We're talking about the Jets. We're talking about the Jets that couldn't win at home or on the road for the last 10 years. And this Jets team, I tell you, I was at the draft in Las Vegas back in April, when they drafted Sauce Gardner. I had a chance to interview him in the media room immediately after he got drafted. And this kid, man, I tell you, he brings it. He, you know, he's a little, you know, flashy, but he backs it up. He backs it up on the field, and he's just a real small guy. I tell you, you see Sauce Gardner, you just think, like, wow, how is he getting it done? This guy's quick. He knows football. He pays attention on defense, and he's a playmaker. This year's Defensive Player of the Year is going to be interesting, especially from the rookie standpoint, because, wow, you know, Aiden Hutchinson getting it done for the Detroit Lions and Sauce Gardner. So, hey, I was at both of those guys' draft this year. And I tell you, man, these young kids are coming into the NFL and making a stance. And Sauce Gardner is a big reason why that the Jets, the J-E-T-S, are in the position that they're in. And they are playing some great football. I tell you, Buffalo didn't see it coming. I saw it coming. This defense is just wonderful. 4-0 on the road. So look at your schedules. And if you see the Jets on your schedule and they're coming to your town, be prepared to battle with the Jets. They're not afraid to win on the road. They're getting it done, and they're getting it done in great fashion. I mean, they are dominating games. But, man, they're one game out of first place with the Bills. And then how about the Miami Dolphins? You know, keeping it in the AFC East, the Dolphins are 6-3 also. And the Patriots, man, has time changed? The New England Patriots, 5-4. Everyone in that division is still over 500, but the Patriots barely. And of course, they had a setback with, you know, the quarterback position having injuries to both the starting and the backup quarterback. And yeah, the Patriots, man, you look at your division standings in the AFC East, and you're like, whoa, this can't be right. It used to be flip-flop almost. The Jets always were at the bottom. The Dolphins were right there, and the Bills were always second place, and then it was always the Patriots on top, and that's not the case anymore. So I tell you, the playoffs are shaping up in the NFL to be really, really good. And the wild card matchups are going to be good because right now, man, you know, it's possible that three teams from the AFC East could make the playoffs. And I know there's a lot of football left and things could change, you know, but right now you have to really say that three teams could make it. I don't see a lot of drop-off from the Jets, the Bills, and the Dolphins. And look, just because the Bills lose that game on Sunday does not mean that they are not the favorite still to get to the Super Bowl. This team is as good as any team we've seen from the Bills post the, you know, the Jim Kelly, those days back there, you know, when the Bills, what, you know, lost, you know, all of those Super Bowls. But, man, this is a different team. And that quarterback, Josh Allen, has no problem running the ball. That's a big guy, you know. And they are still a threat. Now, they just got to handle their division because not only do they have to worry about the Jets, they got to worry about the Dolphins. Those are not easy victories anymore for the Buffalo Bills. So just interesting. And how about just the state of New York? Is just enjoying football, right? You got the Giants that are doing good. You got the Jets that are doing good. You got the Buffalo Bills. So New York is ruling football right now. It's just exciting stuff to see, you know, and I have been one. I had to apologize a couple of weeks ago to Giants and Jets fans because I just have just talked about them. I have historically they have been just the laughing factor, you know. Post the Tom Coughlin and Eli Manning era, the Giants have gone through so many coaches, so many draft picks, and, man, they finally seem to have their guy in Brian Daboll. And, let's just go to the standings in the NFC East, which, you know, we used to make fun and say it was the NFC Least. But you're talking about another competitive division there. Three of the four teams there all have six or more wins. Well, the Philadelphia Eagles are 8-0. They are unbeaten. And I tell you what, that's another team that we said at the beginning of the year would win the division. And it still looks like they are. They have another date with the Dallas Cowboys, which a lot of people think that, including myself, that they are going to split. And I think that could be the case. Dallas, you know, unlike the old Dallas Cowboys who used to play sloppy ball going into the last month, you know, like December, now it's January with the 17-game schedule. The Dallas Cowboys play, lately they have played better ball later than, and I think the Dak Prescott injury, which didn't really set them back at all because Cooper Rush kept things going there, you know, only losing, I think, one game there. But I can expect it's going to be interesting. You know, I got a big the Thanksgiving Day matchup between the Giants and the Cowboys is going to be huge because I tell you what, man, the Giants 6-2, Cowboys 6-2, that right there is going to put one of those teams in third place. They won't be tied, you know. So the Cowboys got a tough schedule. They still got a lot of tough games coming up. So it's going to be interesting to see. But I think they might get the Eagles. And it may or may not matter at that time because if the Eagles continue to steamroll the way they are, you know, winners of 8 in a row, they just refuse to look back on the season. They've taken one game at a time. And I know their schedule looks and appears to be easy. Some people have them, you know, going undefeated. I just think that's impossible to do. It won't be long before the boys in Miami pop open the champagne. It's just a matter of when. It could be when the Eagles face the Cowboys, or it could be, you know, any other time. You know, and it could have been week one when if the Detroit Lions had just defeated the Eagles, then we wouldn't have an unbeaten team because the Eagles won 38-35, and they came back on Detroit. I mean, that was the first game of the season, but Detroit almost just, you know, ended this. you know, there wouldn't have been any unbeaten teams, not at through week eight anyway. I mean, maybe someone would have gotten off to a 3-4-0 start or, you know, something like that. But the Eagles didn't get the memo that they were not supposed to be winning every game they played. So it's going to be interesting to see how things, and they got to be careful too, not to be looking ahead. And it's so easy for people and fans to say, hey, you know, we can't wait for that Cowboys-Eagles second matchup there where we think the Eagles are going to lose their first game. They could, you know, lose before then, but I think they got to just kind of stay steady. Sometimes you get caught looking ahead, and that's, you know, but if they do get past the Cowboys, and let's just say they are what they would be, probably 10 or 11-0 at that time, and looking at the rest of their schedule, ooh-wee, it's possible. It's possible they could, you know, kind of go. We haven't seen that in with this new format here of new seven, you know, regular season 17 games. You know, you remember the Patriots who got to the Super Bowl and lost. And so that was not an undefeated season. It's just crazy. Those guys in Miami had to go all the way to the Super Bowl with the champagne. And so that the Dolphins could watch the unbeaten Patriots at that time lose. They just, oh my goodness, what a crushing loss. Every time I think about that Super Bowl there. But anyway, the NFC East is just very competitive football. And even the Washington Commanders with a 4-5 record, you know, they play pretty good. I mean, it's not bad. 4-5 at this point in this division is not bad. And, you know, they can still finish the season over 500. And just like I said, in the AFC East right now, I mean, you look at this NFC East, you could get three teams in the playoffs. Because if you look at the NFC West, Seattle, and man, we're going to talk about them too. Oh my goodness. Seattle, who is 6-3, and the 49ers, the second place team there, is 4-4. You know, if the playoffs started today, only the Seahawks would make the team, make the playoffs in that division. You would probably get the Eagles, Cowboys, and Giants right now in the playoffs. And if you go look at the NFC North, where the Vikings have such a big lead over the Packers. The Packers are 3-6. They wouldn't make it. And then when you look at the NFC South, everyone has a losing record in the NFC South. The Buccaneers are 4-5. So, you know, you get 1, 2, 3, you're going to get 4, 5, and 6 are coming from the NFC East. So all three of those teams, if things just kind of stay the way they are, and you would get three teams from the NFC East in the playoffs. Now, the bad thing about that is usually when that happens, and we saw that in the NFC West a couple of years ago, well, the last thing you want to do is face one of your division teams in the playoffs, because it's a whole different story when that happens, and that could happen. And, boy, I tell you, you don't want to see it. But right now, that's what we're looking at there. In the NFC East, which is just, you know, some great football being played there. The Cowboys have won 2 in a row. The Eagles, of course, are undefeated. And, of course, the Giants and the Commanders both coming off losses. And they're going to try to get back in the win column there. Staying in the NFC, let's go to the West, because here's the most exciting and interesting thing. How about, you know, you talk about storylines in the National Football League. I think one of the bigger ones this year has to be the fact that Russell Wilson, you know, was traded to the Denver Broncos, and then there's Geno Smith and the backup there. You know, everyone just said, including myself, that it was just going to be a terrible season for the Seahawks, because Geno, we didn't know who was the worst quarterback, Geno or the backup. And boy, how wrong was I? And so, you know, other people, my colleagues here that prognosticate sports here, the Seattle Seahawks are first place. They have won 4 in a row. They've won 4 in a row. They're 3-1 at home. The 49ers are 4-4. They had a bye this past week. The Rams are 3-5. Rams have not recovered from, you know, that opening day loss or beatdown to the Buffalo Bills there in their stadium. And then the Cardinals are 3-6. And the NFC West is just not what it used to be. But that's not to take away anything that the Seahawks are doing. They have one remarkable story with Geno Smith, who was given that second chance to be a starting quarterback and is taking full advantage of it. And people are saying that Pete Carroll now knew exactly what he was doing, getting, you know, trading Russell Wilson. And we saw the decline with Russell Wilson, you know, and people could blame it on the offensive line at the time, but, you know, his skills has not improved, just like Aaron Rodgers. You know, I mean, some of these great quarterbacks that we watch, you know, put up highlights, you know, week in, week out over the years, you know, they just, you're going to lose it at some point. We're seeing it right before our eyes. And Geno Smith, this is what, his fourth or fifth team in the NFL. And man, he played with the Jets. I mean, he's been all over. And look at this. It's just great to see. It's just great to see what's happening there. Seattle would be your division winner right now if the playoffs started today. I have every reason to think that the Seahawks are going to win this division. We'll see what happens with the 49ers as they enter the second half of the season coming off a bye. You know, we'll see what they worked on, see what Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy Garoppolo, because Jimmy Garoppolo is still a good quarterback, an experienced quarterback. He's been to that Super Bowl, you know, so has Matthew Stafford. So you still got two Super Bowl caliber quarterbacks. I don't know what's going on with the Rams. It's, you know, we usually call it the Super Bowl hangover when a team wins the Super Bowl and then they just come out and play like crap. Yeah, I think Matthew Stafford, man, he just doesn't look the same. I just don't know. I don't know. I can't put my hand on it, but he is one of the reasons why that team is just not performing well. They just don't seem, their offense is not gelling. Their defense, you know, it's still pretty respectable, but their offense is just horrible. But anyway, so that's going to be the NFC West. And how about we go down to, well, we've already talked about the North. And let's go down to the South Division where, you know, man, as bad as the Buccaneers have been, and you know, we have our expert, Sony Thompson. She covers the Buccaneers for the Mean Gene Show and the Sports Kings. She's our sports queen on the scene in Tampa. And interesting. I mean, what Tampa has done is made things, you know, pretty easy for the Falcons, who no one, you know, expected the Falcons under a new quarterback and everything with Marcus Mariota. And of course, if the Saints had won the Monday night game, you know, you would have had a virtual three-way tie for first place in this division. I think the Buccaneers will win the division, you know, but they don't have a whole lot of room for failure there because it's just not a spectacular division. And then you got the Panthers at 2-7 who are, you know, just the Panthers. I mean, they've gone through a lot there with trading Christian McCaffrey and having to bench Baker Mayfield and put in P.J. Walker. And then, and of course, they played so horrible the other day that they put Baker Mayfield back in. And so it's just crazy. Craziness there in Carolina. And this, you know, David Tepper, the owner of this team, I mean, this guy, you know, he fired the coach, you know, so much is going on. So they should probably be in last place. I mean, when you go through that much turmoil within the season, you know, Matt Rhule, not, you know, he went in and he started the season under the hot seat and he gets canned. And then in the quarterback play, you know, Baker Mayfield, all of the hype about, well, hey, I can't wait to get my licks in on the Cleveland Browns and how they mistreated me, this, that, and the other. And you can almost see or tell that someone has gotten to Baker Mayfield. Someone has said, hey, man, just lay low, keep your mouth quiet. Because, you know, we didn't expect to see the Progressive commercials because most of those commercials were centered around the Cleveland Browns stadium, right? So I didn't think that they would stop the progressive commercials altogether. I haven't seen one. I don't know if you've seen one. I haven't seen one. But anyway, we haven't just heard a lot from Baker Mayfield. We haven't heard. I think there was some rhetoric coming from him early on in the year. But it's been pretty quiet since Matt Rhule was fired. Just haven't heard much from Baker Mayfield. I haven't heard anything. So, I mean, it's just maybe he's realizing that he just needs to just keep quiet. The game did come to him last Sunday and a losing cause there. I mean, the game was already decided there and when Baker Mayfield came into the game. But that division, you can say it's up for grabs, but I still will give the edge to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady, of course, even though his guys, oh my goodness, no, his wide receivers can't catch a cold. I mean, they just can't catch a ball. I don't know what's going on with Tampa Bay, and their defense is just not frightening, scaring anymore. And a lot of people talk about Todd Bowles, who is a defensive guy. He's always been a defensive guy. But sometimes, becoming a head coach and doing the multitasking, it just don't work. You got to get a good defensive coordinator. You got to get a good offensive coordinator. You got to sit there and manage things and manage people. And something Frank Wright, wasn't able to do. We're going to talk about his firing here in a minute and the interesting things that are happening with the Indianapolis Colts. But the Buccaneers will probably still win this division. I think that, so much has happened with the Buccaneers, including Brady and his offseason, off the field, things going on with his divorce and injuries that continue to pound the Buccaneers even from the start of the season. They suffered some key injuries. Despite it all, and as ugly as their 4-5 record is, they are still in first place. So, I think they get over the 500 because there's no way you can finish even here in this. They might get I don't know if they're going to get 10 wins there. Maybe 9. At least they would have to get 9, right? To get over that 500. So, we'll see. With about 8-9 more games left in the season for some of these teams. So I still like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So we're going to go back over to the AFC and we're going to go to the AFC South real quick because the Tennessee Titans, they are, even with the loss to Kansas City that night, they should have won that game actually. They were up 17-9 and kept the Chiefs from scoring, further. And then all of a sudden it just kind of fell apart. And this is doing it with a rookie quarterback. So the Titans defense just kind of let up there. The Chiefs found a way to break down the defense and get into the end zone. Patrick Mahomes sort of single-handedly took over that game Sunday versus the Titans. But the Titans are 5-3. The second place team is the Colts, and that's kind of hard to believe with a record of 3-5. They've lost 3 in a row, but the owner, Jim Irsay, had seen enough. So he fires Frank Wright, the coach, which we kind of saw that coming. As a matter of fact, I called it on the Mean Gene show this past weekend with Brian DiArdo. We talked about it. I said, hey, Frank Wright is on the hot seat because he's just not getting it done. And for him to be a quarterbacks type coach, because he was a quarterback himself, you would expect it, a little bit more. But in his defense, he's had a lot of quarterbacks there. And the organization, with Matt Ryan there, and they tried to give Carson Wentz an opportunity. I mean, the quarterback position hasn't been the same since Andrew Luck left the Indianapolis Colts. They just have yet to find that steady person. When they had to bench Matt Ryan, something told me that, okay, this is not good. This is not really going to fare well with the Indianapolis Colts, the owner, and Frank Wright. We just kind of saw it, you know. It's just the Jonathan Taylor. So you're not getting much of a run game, a passing game. Michael Pittman Jr. I mean, they're so predictable there, and so it's unfortunate, you know, when you get kind of like this late in the season, midway, because what do? You know, you fire the coach. Now, typically when a coach is fired, the interim coach is usually someone on the current staff, or maybe like, you know, with the Raiders last year when John Gruden was fired, they went with the special teams coach. So they didn't get, you know, bring the offensive coordinator, the defensive coordinator. They brought in the special teams, but at least the guy was still within the organization. The Colts did something completely different. Jim Irsay brought in Jeff Saturday, who has never coached a professional football game in his life. He's never been an assistant coach on any professional football team, or at least in the NFL. And he's been one hell of an NFL analyst on ESPN over the years. Jeff Saturday is, I love his pancake takes there on the NFL live, you know. But somehow Jim Irsay figured that's all the experience I need. I want Jeff Saturday to be the interim coach, which means the offensive coordinator and the defensive coordinator, as far as I know, they're still intact. Everybody's still intact except Frank Wright. Frank Wright is out of there. Jeff Saturday is coming from the broadcast booth or the television booth and going directly to be a coach of the NFL. Now, this is crazy. This is different. And as an owner of an NFL team, Jim Irsay is probably can hire whoever the hell he wants to. But this is going to be interesting. And I know Jeff Saturday has some great takes, some great opinions. And, you know, it's one thing calling games, giving opinions and comments. It's just like me. I can sit up here and talk about football all day. I can talk about what these guys should have, would have, could have done. But, you know, am I qualified to go out there and coach and tell these guys how to do it and when to do it? No, I'm not. I'm just someone that talks sports, someone who has been around, seen a lot of games, interviewed a lot of players, talked to a lot of coaches, and I only have an opinion. And it's going to be interesting to see how Jeff Saturday is going to take his analyst philosophy to a locker room. Now, some people are saying that Jeff Saturday was brought in to get a pulse of the team and sort of maybe report back at the end of the year to Jim Irsay, you know, what's going on? You know, what's going on with the team? What's going on? And maybe they make another move. But I don't know. I see that as a waste of time. I don't like how this was actually handled, because, you know, what are you going to find out? Well, you should already know something's going wrong because you fired the coach. But if you're going to waste another 2.5 months of the season to have someone report to you their findings, I don't know. I mean, you're probably going to find out that the players didn't like the decision that you made. And you got coaches and their families, you know, wondering, okay, well, where are we going to be at next season? You know, if this is a new way of a inexperienced coach to audition, you know, is the standard changing to where, okay, well, we can say that Jeff Saturday has no experience right now, and that's true. But of course, after the next 8 games, he will have experience. So it's, I don't know. And if he goes undefeated, or, I mean, who knows? So, hey, the opportunity is the opportunity, and good for him. You know, the opportunity is falling in his favor. But, you know, there are a lot of qualified coaches out there. There are some great assistant coaches out there. And this is the stuff that people talk about, including myself, when others are not given a chance to coach. And others, meaning people who look and sound like me, who you know, don't get these opportunities. You know, I have yet to see anyone do the same thing when it comes to an African-American inexperienced coach. But hey, you know, Jim Irsay is his team. I guess, you know, what are you going to say? The rules committees or the committee that says, hey, you got to interview this, that, and the other qualified. I think the NFL have always said, hey, you got to find a qualified guy, give him a chance, and you go from there. But this breaks the rules in a sense. You bring in a guy who's not qualified. Yeah, he won a Super Bowl with you. He's a very highly respected guy in the Indianapolis Colts organization, and perhaps someone that Jim Irsay trusts. But, you know, the problem is, well, when can we be trusted? You know, I understand. I understand connections and, you know, all of that, bonds and stuff, but trust. You know, you throw that word out there that, okay, well, he trusts Jeff Saturday. Well, then, you know, I don't know. It's one of those subjects that I even hate to rag on, but the hiring is already raising a lot of questions, and let's just see what happens here. But I think you have to pay attention to the players in the locker room too. And those guys could say, hey, now we don't like the process. We're just going to lay down. We're going to lay down, and, you know, the Indianapolis Colts might get a good draft pick. Jeff Saturday may or may not be the coach. You know, this story is not over by any means. So anyway, hey, Jeff Saturday, you got the job. Let's see what you're going to do. But good luck. You know, good luck getting to those veteran players on that team who may have disagreed with Frank Reich, but, man, at least he was an experienced coach. And now you're bringing in an analyst, and those players listen and watch TV. And if you've ever said anything bad about them, you know, good luck, man. You got to coach those guys, so we'll see how that goes. So anyway, as far as that division, the Titans should still win that division. The Jaguars, 3-6. The Texans, 1-6. The Texans are pretty much going to have the number one draft pick at this point. They are the worst team, not by far. You know, the Pittsburgh Steelers, we're going to talk about the AFC North here in a little bit. You know, Pittsburgh Steelers are still, you know, with two wins, but I don't know how this thing is going to finish. The Texans are just horrible. The Texans are really, really, really bad. Okay. And the Jaguars, there's an improvement there. And it looked like, you know, they were 2-0 at one time, first place in the division. And since then, things have really changed for the Jaguars, even though, hey, they get their third win over the Las Vegas Raiders, which, you know, hey, I tell you what, their coach Peterson, you know, this guy, it was probably the best thing to happen for Trevor Lawrence, and the fact that he does have a coach that knows the game, and they've definitely have gotten past the Urban Meyer mess that took place last year. So we should see. But the AFC South should belong to the Titans, and only one team is going to make the playoffs, and that's going to be your division winner. Now let's look at the AFC North, okay? The Baltimore Ravens, they get a big win last night. They have won 3 in a row. They have they're 4-1 on the road, so it was no wonder they were a heavy favorite last night to beat the New Orleans Saints, and they did. They beat them pretty good there, and Lamar Jackson continues to play without a contract. Although, hey, when your head coach, when John Harbaugh says the guy's going to get paid, so he knows. John Harbaugh knows as a matter of fact, Lamar Jackson extended his life as a coach there in Baltimore, and they are on the same page. And I know it was tough for John Harbaugh to move away from Joe Flacco, a guy who won a Super Bowl for him, and then transition over to Lamar Jackson, two different styles of quarterback play there. But look at the Baltimore Ravens. They are 6-3. I know the Bengals got off to such a horrible start to the season, you know, with them back-to-back, with them losses. They, you know, they were 0-2 out the gate. The Ravens are steady, you know, they just steady getting it done there. I mean, they were banged up to begin the year. Lamar Jackson, you know, everyone thought that him playing without a contract would be somewhat of a distraction, but he's gone out there and just really and he's getting it done. So they've won three in a row. They are first place right now, 6-3 in the AFC North. And, you know, two teams could make the division. I mean, make the playoffs from this division. The Bengals are getting it together. I mean, what a big weekend for Joe Mixon. And, you know, so I'm in this fantasy football league, and thank goodness I did not play against Joe Mixon. Whoever played against Joe Mixon in fantasy football, you got your ass whipped. I already know it. You don't even have to tell me because I know you did. One of the guys in my fantasy football league, he asked, wow, 60 points by a running back. Has that ever happened before, Mean Gene? And I said, close. I think Jamar Charles had 59 point something in a game, points. And then, of course, who else did it before him? Oh, my goodness. Clinton Portis, who played for, at the time, the Washington Redskins. And Clinton Portis had like 54 points. And I think Clinton Portis, I think his was all rushing, if I'm not mistaken. Now, I know Adrian Peterson had some big, big numbers, and Brian Westbrook used to put up some big, big numbers in fantasy football. Brian Westbrook won me my first fantasy football championship, and Adrian Peterson won me one also. But, man, but those guys were consistent. You know, Joe Mixon, I don't know if this is ever going to happen again. And it wasn't like, not to take anything away from Joe Mixon. I mean, these were just easy touchdowns. And, of course, he ran. You know, he did what he was supposed to do. I don't want to, you know, sound like I don't like Joe Mixon. He does play with the Bengals, right? You know I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, so I can't say a whole lot of nice things about him. But, yeah, I'm just glad I didn't have to play against him. I had to look down at my schedule and make sure that, I lost my game this week anyway, but it wasn't because of Joe Mixon, but oh my goodness. So his numbers are definitely going to be inflated for the rest of the season. People thinking that's going to happen again, but it probably won't. But how about the Bengals, though? They had to rely on Joe Mixon because guess who was not playing? And that's Jamar Chase. So, yeah, I mean, the Bengals are really struggling. And Joe Burrow, oh my goodness, man, if this guy gets sacked one more time, he's going to have to, you know, take out a different insurance policy because this guy is just getting, I don't know how your offensive line can let your quarterback just get beat up like that. And he gets up and just like shakes it off and gets right back in that huddle and get it again. And they got smart this past Sunday and gave the ball more to Joe Mixon. And he took care of it. But, man, a good win for the Cincinnati Bengals. They're going to be there, you know. And I think, you know, the next time they play the Ravens, that should be an interesting game there. I don't even know if they played each other yet. But when they do, we're going to know about it because this is going to be, you know, there's only one game to separate these guys. The Cleveland Browns at 3-5, they are probably not going to do any better than what they are. I think the way the division is looking right now, Ravens on top, Bengals second, Browns third, Pittsburgh Steelers last place, probably not going to change. The Bengals could, you know, with the experience of the Super Bowl last year, they could get hot. It, you know, any team is one player away, you know, from an injury, and that could just change the whole outlook. I know that if the Ravens, if something happened to Lamar Jackson, oh my goodness, things could just really change there. But it's going to be a competitive race to the end, I think, in the AFC North between the Ravens and the Bengals. So, all right, let's talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers. Okay, at 2-6, I think we can say goodbye to the record that Mike Tomlin has had and maintained throughout his tenure as head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, never having a losing season. Okay, and this is going to be, you know, he's been 500 or better every year, and it's not going to happen. For him to be 500 or better this year, they have to win, seven of their next eight games. I don't see it. I just don't see it. It's just not going to happen. I think Pittsburgh Steelers fans know that this is not going to be a winning season. And it's not because, well, I mean, it is because you got a rookie quarterback, and it isn't. I mean, a rookie quarterback, you drafted high, you drafted a quarterback, you knew at some point in time he was going to get in. Now, a lot of people are still not, you know, buying into the fact that, well, the season didn't have to be this way if we had stuck with Mitchell Trubisky. So I don't know. I just think, you know, when you draft a first round quarterback there, that you can expect that quarterback to get in. And it's just not any first round quarterback. Kenny Pickett was tearing up college football last year. Pittsburgh, I mean, he broke Dan Marino records there in Pittsburgh. And I think you have to look and see that the future is going to get brighter for this kid. Yeah, I mean, think back to Peyton Manning when he came out of Tennessee and his rookie year. Peyton Manning was horrible. Peyton Manning threw interceptions. Peyton Manning fumbled the ball. Peyton Manning was Kenny Pickett, basically. That's who Peyton Manning was. And look at the record and the history and the legend that legacy that Peyton Manning left behind, okay? So, hey, we hate to start over sometimes. And Kenny Pickett, you know, he played his entire college career in that stadium where the Steelers play. So I think the future is going to look bright. I think what you're seeing now is growing pains. You just have to go through it. And you know, you just can't expect this kid to you know, make this miracle. Now, Ben Roethlisberger, in his second year as a quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers, he took him to the Super Bowl. So things change in year two. I think, you know, hey, it's going to come at a cost. I mean, it came at a cost, you know, to the Indianapolis Colts with Peyton Manning. You know, it comes that way. You know, and when these quarterbacks are drafted high and they come out of there, the expectations are high. Kenny Pickett will be a hell of a quarterback, you know, and it takes time. And the Steelers, unfortunately, are going to have a losing season. It's just, there's no other way around it. But the Steeler faithful is going to be there. No one's abandoning the team because Kenny Pickett is a quarterback. Yeah, and you can't, you know, Mitchell Trubisky, you know, I think the decision came down to, okay, what do we might be 500 with Mitchell Trubisky. I doubt it. So this might be the best time to get Kenny Pickett in. And if we're going to have a losing season, let's get the kid in now and see what we can teach him, what he's capable of doing. And Chase Claypool, who just kind of felt like, well, regardless of who is the quarterback, why aren't we throwing the damn ball? And Chase Claypool voiced his frustration with the organization. And I think the organization says, okay, we hear you, but we're going to trade you. You know, and Chase Claypool, and I didn't have a problem with Chase Claypool being traded to the Chicago Bears because the Pittsburgh Steelers have been down that road before with disgruntled players, and they were not about to let this guy, you know, dictate how they do things. So, you know, regardless, I know fans will say, hey, you should be doing this, you should be doing that. Hey, these guys know what they're doing, okay? You go out there and try to manage and do the things that they do, okay? It's just not easy, you know, and it's sitting your ass on your couch watching football and coaching from the couch and trying to tell somebody what to do because you can't. It's just like, so it's like telling me how I should produce and market and do my show. All right. I mean, some of us, you know, we just know what the hell we're doing. And when it comes to the coach, yeah, as a fan, we can get frustrated and say, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda. I mean, that's the fan in us. But realistically, you know, they saw this year coming, you know, I mean, it is what it is there. So you just have to deal with it. So the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to have a horrible year, and it's going to be interesting to see how they play the remaining games out and what changes at the coaching position happens, if any. No one knows. I mean, it's just part of the game. So it's going to be interesting to see how that pans out. So that kind of wraps up the NFL, and just real quick, I get into the NBA here before we wrap up the show. I mean, it's early. It's early, 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 too early to be talking serious talk about the the NBA. I mean, it was looking pretty interesting there with the Milwaukee Bucks. Thought they would get that 10th win in a row. It didn't happen. So they're 9-1. I think so far, and I'm going to just start with the Eastern Conference of the NBA, surprises that I see would be the Cleveland Cavaliers at 8-2. The Atlanta Hawks are really, you know, after not making the playoffs last year, they're doing well, you know, a three-game win streak there. The Boston Celtics, even with the Ime Udoka situation and their backup coach there, the interim coach or whatever, assistant coach, you know, the Celtics are still getting it done. You know, they got great players on that team, so not surprised there. And then you got a lot of teams there right at 500, you know, the Bulls, Knicks, Pacers, Wizards, 76ers, and Nets, folks, are a surprise in the East. Okay, look at the 76ers. Oh, my goodness. They're at 5-6. The Nets are at 4-7. You know, and they would be playing. Well, I don't even think the Nets would be in the playoffs. If the NBA playoffs started today, the Nets would be out. And but it's, you know, there's like 70 games left to go. So, I mean, it's just too early to really get serious. I think starting out the gate, you expected the Nets, you know, with the big three, meaning Simmons, Irving, and Durant, to be ready to go. And same thing with the 76ers with a healthy Harden. And you get, you know, his old teammate, PJ Tucker, over there. You still got Maxey, and you got Tobias Harris and Embiid. You just expect certain things out of when you get a stellar lineup like that. And but that's not the case. So the Milwaukee, you know, came out. Milwaukee is consistent, and the Celtics are consistent. So still a young season, you know, but those headlines, the Cleveland Cavaliers are definitely the story right now in the East. And, of course, the 76ers and the Nets, their struggles, and the Kyrie Irving fiasco. We have to talk about this on another show. And I think me and Dustin Pfeiffer, listen up for that show. We're going to be talking NBA on the Mean Gene Show or the Sports King Show. I don't know which one, but we're going to be talking about that a little bit more in depth, because he's closer to the NBA action than I am. And looking at the Western Conference, and the Utah Jazz is definitely a surprise over there. So is the Portland Trail Blazers, who are teams that, man, you just, you know, with the Trail Blazers losing CJ McCollum, you know, so it appeared last year that they were just tanking and maybe just starting over, perhaps rebuilding. There was rumors that Damian Lillard might go somewhere else. But look at the Trail Blazers, 7-3. And then the Jazz, who basically had a fire sale. I mean, the Jazz just basically got rid of Rudy Gobert. They got rid of Donovan Mitchell, the face of their franchise for years. And right now, through, 10, 11, 12 games in the season, the Jazz has the best record in the Western Conference. They are 9-3. Just amazing. And the Trailblazers are 7-3. And then you can say a surprise or no surprise. Well, the Golden State Warriors, the defending champions of the NBA, are 4-7. So we don't know what's going on there yet. You know, slow start, like I say, 70 more games left. But how about the Lakers? 2-8, same Lakers, same crap, same mess, same everything with the Lakers. You know, just some things don't change, right? The Lakers still suck. 2-8, I don't care. If it's Westbrook, if it's LeBron, if it's AD is already having injuries, back problems. It's just a damn shame, basically. Okay, it's just a shame. I don't know what the season tickets or individual ticket prices are for the Lakers, but I hope my friends and family in California are not paying the full price to go see a Lakers game. I don't even want to watch them at home play. It's just frustrating. And, you know, for a minute, they started out 0-5. It's just frustrating, okay? And you could tell by my voice the frustration, because I love the Lakers. I'm a Laker fan, and I've covered the Lakers. You know, hey, we are fans, okay? It's not like I go to the press box with, you know, with being a cheerleader and stuff. But hey, you know, everyone that has ever listened to this show and know me, know, hey, I support the Lakers, and to see three potential Hall of Famers on this team and they cannot get a win. Darvin Ham hasn't worked his magic yet. Of all the teams that we mentioned, Nets, 76ers, Warriors, all of those teams that are struggling right now, they are going to get better before the Lakers do. The Lakers is not the team that I would expect to turn things around. They didn't do it last year. I don't know how they're going to do it this year. AD, who is the main source of success or not success for the Lakers. And if AD is not healthy and playing well, this Lakers team is going to be so predictable. But anyway, so that's the NBA. I just thought we would kind of talk about that. I have gone over about 5 minutes, folks, because I got the ranting and raving. So, hey, this is I want to call it like my election day show. I don't think I've ever did a show on election day. That's because, hey, I've already voted. That's done. If you haven't, and if you're registered, or even if you're not registered, get registered, okay, to vote. Vote, vote, vote. You don't have a say-so if you don't vote. You can't sit around and complain about anything, regardless of you're Republican or Democrat, if you don't vote. Okay, so that's your right. Go out and do it. And I tell you what, make sure you are listening to our shows this weekend from the Virgin Hotels, Las Vegas. I will be there along with Downtown Wayne Brown. Dustin Pfeiffer will be there. My producer, Ray Lee Cadenhead, will be there. We will have our Salute to Veterans Day show on Friday, November 11th. And, of course, we will also have the Sports King show. We will be there Saturday as well. I will be doing my KDWN 720 AM Las Vegas show from there. We'll be talking about the Week 10 NFL picks and all sorts of stuff. Should be a great weekend out in Las Vegas. And there is what's going on tonight, though. No NBA games tonight because the NBA decided to play all 30 teams last night so that they can get out and vote and get people out to vote. So great things. The NBA has always been pretty big on that stuff. So anyway, there is women's college basketball tonight, men's college basketball tonight, and I think there's a couple of college football games on tonight. Ball State, and I saw that earlier. So you're still going to have some sports, okay? If you're not into politics and you don't care about none of that stuff, then you at least there's still sports for you tonight to watch and enjoy that. So, hey, hope you have enjoyed the show here. You've been listening to The Mean Gene Show right here, streaming live on podbean.com.